The Public News Service Daily Newscast for March 27, 2020. I'm Mike Clifford. The U.S. now has more confirmed cases of coronavirus than any other country, with more than 83,500 positive tests. That from the BBC. According to the latest figures from Johns Hopkins University, the U.S. has overtaken China and Italy in the number of cases. But the BBC reports with 1,200 COVID-19-related fatalities, the U.S. death toll lags behind China and Italy, which reported more than 8,000 deaths. That grim milestone came as President Trump predicted the nation would get back to work pretty quickly. Even in a pandemic, Election 2020 continues, civil rights groups cautioning that Ohio's new plan to address the state's postponed primary could deprive people of their right to vote.
To reduce the spread of the coronavirus, Governor Mike DeWine closed the polls for the state's March 17th primary. House Bill 197 was passed by the legislature this week, extending mail voting for the primary to April 28th. Mike Brickner with All Voting is Local Ohio says it's too tight of a timeline for voters to request an absentee ballot and send it back to boards of elections.
Systems are not operating in an optimal way. Printers and mail houses and the United States Postal Service are all also reeling from COVID-19.
Brickner and other election watchdog organizations contend the primary date should be set for no earlier than mid-May. Mary Sherman reporting. This story was produced in association with Media in the Public Interest and funded in part by the George Gunn Foundation.
Meantime, in Montana, counties will have the option to conduct the June primary completely by mail. Governor Steve Bullock has issued an order expanding mail-in ballots and early voting for the June 2nd election. Aaron Murphy heads up the Montana Conservation Voters.
Despite the setbacks that we are all facing and struggling with together, the ability to vote transcends all of that. And so it's important for us to make sure that our democracy and our elected representatives are chosen appropriately.
Murphy says virtually every county will pursue voting by mail. Bullock has issued a stay-at-home order starting on Saturday. And consumer watchdog groups say we need to guard against price gouging. Adam Garber is with the U.S. PIRG Education Fund. He says their research found after the WHO declared a global health emergency, more than half of hand sanitizers and surgical masks sold on Amazon rose in price by more than 50%.
Amazon and eBay and others have taken some action to address price gouging on their platforms, and so it's become a little less prevalent. But we're still seeing significant cases. Yesterday, I found a thermometer for sale on Amazon for $500 and not one of the fancy kinds.
Garber says there have been more than 5,000 complaints nationwide about price gouging. This is PMS. In Pennsylvania, legislation to protect students and adapt curriculum during the COVID-19 pandemic has cleared the General Assembly there.
The closing of schools across the state to stop the spread of the coronavirus is having an unprecedented impact on Pennsylvania's public school system. Chris Lilienthal is with the Pennsylvania State Education Association, the union representing teachers and school staff. He says a bill that cleared both houses of the state legislature on Wednesday will help schools switch to online instruction and enrichment programs.
So teachers will be able to continue doing what they do best, teaching. Students can continue to learn, and everyone can stay healthy and safe.
The bill also waives instructional day requirements and ensures that school employees will continue to be paid while schools are closed. Governor Tom Wolf is expected to sign the bill into law. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
And advocates for those with disabilities hope these individuals don't become ignored. Mike Mullen reports there are a number of ways that could happen.
The new coronavirus has brought us many phrases such as social distancing to encourage people to take preventative measures. Brooke Lovelace of the Iowa Developmental Disabilities Council says people definitely should adhere to those guidelines. But she says they should also be mindful of a friend or neighbor whose disability might limit them in being able to connect with others.
People with disabilities are a little bit more vulnerable for social isolation or physical isolation because their networks could be possibly a little bit smaller.
Lovelace encourages Iowans to check on someone they might know living with a disability, especially if that person's caregiver can't help them right now. And concerns have surfaced in other states about health care providers potentially discriminating against people with disabilities because of the crisis. Lovelace says there's been no evidence of that in Iowa, but she says they are monitoring.
Finally, Eric Tegedoff reminds us Saturday is the 41st anniversary of the partial meltdown of the Three Mile Island nuclear power plant. Experts say there are lessons in the incident, including in Idaho, where waste from the plant eventually ended up.
Dr. Heidi Huttner is director of the documentary Accidents Can Happen, The Women of Three Mile Island, which features four women left in the dark about the accident, inspiring them to join the anti-nuclear movement. Huttner sees a lot of parallels between 1979 and now. She hopes Three Mile Island can be instructive.
Because we still have many nuclear power plants operating, and there's talk about building new nuclear power plants, I think it's essential that we look back at how that was handled before, during, and after, and be sure we don't replicate those errors.
At the Idaho National Laboratory, a first-of-its-kind nuclear power plant project involving 12 small modular reactors submerged in a single pool of water has been proposed and is awaiting federal approval.
I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for wrapping up your week with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported and online at publicnewsservice.org.